You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Wednesday from Montana, don't you know? Greetings and salutations here on a Wednesday morning, the 15th day of January. Yeah, how about that? January, maybe not. How about July? Nice. Where did that come from? Anyway, good morning to you from beautiful Montana, big sky country, and post-traumatic winning. Headed for Big Timber, Montana, home of Montana Man. So, yeah, finally. After I don't know how many years, going to get to go check out the homestead of Montana. So I'm fired up about that. Up early today and left Fort Smith, the Kingfisher Lodge there. And just an incredible time. So yesterday did post-traumatic winning, and again, small groups are a little bit different. Really cool. Again, when I do this. And I do post-traumatic winning and I hang out the rest of the day. I mean, I have conversations throughout the day about, you know, different things that struck people. And so it's a very cool experience. And yesterday was no different. So after I did post-traumatic winning, the Marines wanted to go see the Custer Battlefield, which was pretty cool. A lot of times people don't like to do that kind of stuff, but they wanted to. So the people that run the lodge, Brock and Jenny Boddicker, Jenny's the chef. And let me tell you, if you like to fly fish and you like not really good, if you like incredible food, this is the place for you to come. Write it down. Kingfisher Lodge in Fort Smith, Montana. Jenny is one of the greatest cooks I've ever stumbled across in my life. Yeah, right up there with El Jefe himself, Kim. I mean, the food we ate here was, I mean, to die for. Literally, it was incredible. And so she made us box lunches, and they were awesome. And so anyway, so we took lunch and we go to the battlefield. And most everybody hadn't been there. I had, and I was familiar with the battle, so it was kind of cool. So I got a chance to see how Custer had a bad day, and kind of walked the battlefield, and then we just kind of sat under a tree and ate lunch, and which was, you know, hanging out with Marines, and I will tell you this is a pretty unique group of Marines. They've been getting together for, I don't know how many years now, but a lot, which is rare with young Marines that they get together every year. Normally that doesn't happen until they get older. And yet, tells you something about their leadership. And so just hanging out with them and talking to them and getting to know them. And, they're thinkers and interesting guys. And so we went from the Little Bighorn battlefield to, I want to say, the Bighorn River, where there was a reservoir-ish thing that had been dammed up. So we parked the cars, go down this trail, and here's this, you know, is kind of a river that's been widened and dammed a little bit, and so it's a little bit wider. And so you know, sitting on the rocks, so there's this concrete thing. We walk out. At some point, it must have been some kind of dam or something. So we walk across from the bank across this thing, you know, that's, you know, not so much intact anymore, so we can... So you walk on the concrete, you're walking in the water a little bit. And the one thing, even though the water was only up to your knees as you walked across this thing, that was freezing. It's like, oh, well, how cold could it be? I'll tell you in a few minutes, but the water was freezing. So anyway, we go out, and now there's this other huge concrete slab, and then it kind of goes into rocks and whatnot. So we plop down on it and just kind of hanging out, talking and shooting shit. And pretty soon somebody dives in the water. And they come up and they cannot breathe. You know what? And you know how funny that is when it's not you? It's hilarious. So one by one, they go in the water. And then somebody swims across this thing. And it might have been 60 yards across. Maybe 50, 60 yards across. But it was, I'm telling you, the water was cold. Water was 41 degrees. It was freezing cold. And we looked it up on the internet later. And so he gets out. And I'm like, wow, he made it across. And he said... Later, he said, yeah, he said, I could feel it. And these guys are all, you know, reconnaissance Marines, right? And so, I mean, they're strong swimmers and whatnot. And so one by one, everybody, you know, is jumping in the water. And it was funny because they had various reactions to it. From one Marine, no reaction. Like, it was nothing. I was like, come on. Everybody, yeah, you have other guys that they come up, their eyes are huge, and he can't breathe. And I have no intention of doing this. I'm not 29 years old or 32 or whatever, no. And so they all go in, and Their leader looks and says, there's only two people left. Now, I've spent most of my life refuting the assertion that, you know, I'm a wuss, right? Yeah, I know it's juvenile, but if you want to get me to do something, call me a wuss. And so, well, I mean, it doesn't take me long, right? Pop my shirt off, flip my shoes off, go over to the edge. Now, it's probably from where we are in this concrete kind of rock thing to the water, I don't know, it might be a 10-foot drop, right? And then there's kind of this this wider part of the river, kind of reservoir-ish thing. And yeah, once you put me on the spot in front of people, in front of Marines, doesn't take me long. And so I do a backflip off this thing and then and hit the water. I come up. I can't breathe. And I'm not talking about like I've done it in Lake Tahoe where you're like, it was like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And I mean, and they think it's hilarious because that's how Marines do shit. And I'm swimming and I can't breathe. But it was, I mean, I didn't have to swim that far, so it wasn't a big deal. And they're like, wah. But, right, doing stupid stuff. But, you know, being in the company of good people, wherever you do it, is a great time. And it was a great time. The whole day, you know, from the post-traumatic winning, which I love, to going to the battlefield, to lunch, then to this reservoir. Just a wonderful day, and then came back here. And you know that, I don't know what you call that game, but is it called cornhole or something? Where there's the wooden kind of box, and you have, it's like horseshoes with beanbags, and you throw the beanbag into the hole, that game. Well, there's a Marine by the name of Alex, and he's like gifted. He's gifted. And I played the other day, and he literally kicked the shit out of my team single-handedly, and I wasn't happy. And I told him, I'm like, hey, I'm scarred by that. And so we played again tonight. Actually, he was on my team, and he and I won. And so that made me feel good. That made me feel good. And then after that, I kind of said goodbyes. People had some gifts they wanted to give out. People needed to say thank you. And, it was a really cool evening. And then I bought a sweatshirt as a memento from their little gift shop here. And then early morning this morning, get up at 4. James had to go to the airport. So you'll hear James here in a little bit. And James Moran. I always say good on top of good on top of good on top of good describes my life. And let me just tell you where it's headed. It's headed for great on top of great on top of great on top of great on top of great. And it's phenomenal. I got 2 phone calls from people asking for my help and saving people, both from North Carolina. And it's just and that happened late in the day after we got back, and we were sitting talking, and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing, and somebody you've heard on the radio program, I won't name him, but he said, hey Mac. I said, what's up? And he said, I saved somebody's life tonight. I wanted to tell you. So we were talking about it. And then a little bit later, hey, Mac, I need your help. I'm trying to save somebody, and you're the person that could help them. And I said, all right, what do you need from me? And So it's just amazing. Some days my life. And today's one of the cooler days in among cool days, you know, because I've, you know, done post-traumatic winning in North Carolina last week and or the week before that, and then now up here heading over to Big Timber today, and then up to Helena to do post-traumatic winning on Saturday, and I fly home on Sunday. And so, I mean, it's awesome. It's unbelievable. I don't have a better word for it. And so, again, I just want to, I love to share these experiences because so many people have followed the birth of post-traumatic winning, its debut, and all the different things that have happened to it. And today was a collision of, you know, of meeting new people and trying to get them to see the path and trying to tell them that, you know, I want to work with you. I want to come to your community and help. And seeing them fired up about it. And then, you know, just all the fun had today. And then capped off tonight by Marines from the 2nd Marine Division contacting me and saying, hey, man, I need your help. One of them saying, hey, I saved somebody. I wanted to share it with you. Another one saying, hey, this kid needs help, and I think that, you know, you're the guy to help him. So, my crazy life. So, good morning to you. You're going to hear from James Moran here in a few minutes. And so James is the guy who brought me here. And so it's really interesting, you know, when he talked to me, I mean, I told him what would happen. And it happened. Bigger than shit, it happened. And he ought to be extremely happy for what his organization has been able to do, which is to bring units together so that it's not just a veteran up here by himself on the weekend, maybe making some friends. It is this incredible bond that people have. And in the context of that, you know, attempting to give them a transformational experience by exposing them to post-traumatic winning. And so, you know, James deserves all the credit, he and his crew, his board, for what's gone on here. And great conversations about, you know, where this thing goes and how it happens and stuff like that. So pretty cool. So you'll hear from him. So before we do that, though, the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Quite naturally, will not surprise you, but this is dedicated to Brock and Jenny Boddicker for just the red carpet they roll out and the environment they create for just an absolutely incredible event to take place here at the Kingfisher Lodge to James Moran and his crew. And then, but mostly to a really uncommon group of Marines. And that is the Bravo Company, 1st Recon Battalion, that deployed to Afghanistan in 2010, 2011. And those guys are They're devoted to each other at a young age, and it's just magical to be around. And I just want to, in a public way, thank them for allowing me to tag along with them, and you know, to go see a battlefield with them and hang out with them. So, just a wonderful experience made possible by a lot of different people who really do give a rip about the quality of life that people who have fought for this country live. And it was just an awesome couple of days. So this is dedicated to all of them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we're going to skip doing the temperatures today. I know, I don't normally do that, but we are. And when we come back, you're going to hear James Moran. He of the Bar X Project. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone.
greetings from Fort Smith, Montana, home of the Kingfisher Lodge. And I'm here with one of the principals in the Bar X project and the guy who reached out to me, James Moran. And so I got to meet James, been hanging out with him since Saturday. And so, James, first of all, welcome back to All Marine Radio. The how first of all, we got to tell everybody about you real quick, and then before we talk about this stuff, Marine officer, hail from where?
From Beechwood, New Jersey.
Beechwood, New Jersey, and whereabouts is that?
Central Jersey, Ocean County, along close to the shore.
So close to the shore. The shore is not, it sounds like one thing, but it's not. It's fairly long. So Central Jersey, close to the shore, you're from there. You still live in that area?
I don't. My family does. My mother does. But no, I live now in a town called Berlin. It's a suburb of Philadelphia with my wife and two daughters.
So do you consider yourself a Philly guy?
No. My dad will strike me down if I ever said that. No, we're Yankee fans and... I can't get into the Philadelphia Eagle fan base. I can't get into it. When I was on recruiting duty in Pittsburgh, I became a Steelers fan while we were out there. It's a completely different fan base out there, one I could easily identify with as opposed to the Eagle fans.
All right, so join the Marine Corps, infantry officer. When do you get out of the Marine Corps?
I get off active duty in late 2007, so I joined in 2001, January, and then... became an infantry officer after September 11th, did three deployments, and then did a recruiting tour up in Pittsburgh, and I got out late 2007.
Got it. All right. Tell everybody how Bar X started.
Bar X started when I began an ATM company. When I got out of the Marine Corps, moved back home in New Jersey, so we put ATMs in convenience stores, hotels, malls, and the supplier... who I buy all my equipment from, is here in Montana. They're based in Billings, Montana. And as you're growing a business, you become friendly with the sales guys because you're constantly on the phone with them, and sales guys are very personable. And nice relationships established, and he was getting to know me and was asking a lot of questions about my time in the Marine Corps. And he just threw an invite out. He said, hey, my family has a beautiful ranch on the Yellowstone River. If you ever want to bring some injured Marines up, we'd be honored to host them. Just let me know. And I said, if you're serious, just let me know because I can probably make one phone call and get 20 guys to sign up for that. And he said, well, let's keep it small, maybe four guys, and then that way I can bring my buddies up. We can bring their boats and we can fly fish. If you can get them out here, you know, just pay their way, pay for the food, it won't cost you anything, and we'll see what happens. And that was 2011.
And 9 years later... tell everybody how big this has become in terms of how many different iterations of this do you run now, and where do you run them?
Yeah, we're running them. This year we have four. Last year we had five. It's all based on how much money we raise. So we raised about $90,000 last year, and that money is now being used to fund these four trips that we have going on this year. Since we've started having success with it, people in Montana have reached out to us and wanted to host guys on their property as well. So that's kind of how it's grown. So we have four trips this year going to four different locations with four different groups of Marines.
And what are the locations? You and I have been in Nye and now Fort Smith.
Fort Smith. Starting next Thursday, there's going to be a group going to a lake house in Helena. And then in September... we'll go to where it all started in the Bar X Ranch in Great Cliff, Montana, on the Yellowstone.
All right. How many this year? How many people will you all host?
Well, we had five. We have 11 here, and then we have six. We'll be close to 30. We'll have this year.
So this year's iteration, you know, you and I flew in. And met on Saturday. How's it going?
I think it's great. I think it's gotten better every year, and I think this This has been the best one yet because we added post-traumatic winning for the very first time this year. I always felt I would have to put some sort of a course like that together, but I never sat down and actually put pen to paper. But everything that you say and post-traumatic winning is what I've always had in my head, but you were actually able to actually put pen to paper and do a ton of research. Haven't seen the presentation now. You did a ton of research tying it to Vietnam veterans and the Hanoi Hilton and then even civilian trauma like Elizabeth Smart. And yeah, it's getting to show that post-traumatic winning presentation on the third day after the Marines had been here for a couple days and had some time on the river and got to reestablish the bonds with the guys that they've been together with. I think it added a game-changing dynamic to this. It's one that we'll definitely continue to expand upon because I think the light went off on a lot of the Marines because they've never heard a presentation like that.
And there's cool stuff that happens. And then today here, first of all, I mean, let's talk about our time in Nye. A setting that's worthy of a movie set. Mm-hmm. And really interesting. I mean, I've got full-time employment applications now. Your thoughts? I mean, that those guys are a little bit older. They were platoon sergeants and gunnery sergeants in Fallujah in 2004, and just awesome guys. But you saw their reaction to it. For me, the coolest part is afterwards. Like, you know, like we just did another version of it this morning, but then hung out. We went to the Little Bighorn battlefield with these guys. Went to a reservoir. The water's about, 41 degrees. And so they all jumped in, right? I mean, these guys are recon guys. I mean, they have to do the macho thing. Well, I mean, I'm 62. Like, I'm supposed to be over that phase of my life. And then the ringleader looks at me and says, well, everybody's jumped in. And I always say, you know, I've been struggling my whole life to fight this I'm not a sissy thing I have inside of me. So, but I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. So, I mean, I kept swimming. But that water was so cold. I mean, and I'm no stranger. I mean, I've been to Lake Tahoe, which is I don't know what's the water temperature of Lake Tahoe. But I could at least gasp for breath. That it didn't work. I don't know. My respiratory system was not functioning. And you know, the best part of it is like it's all a big joke, right?
Yeah,
it's all a big joke.
Well, I went in after you, and I didn't think it was going to be that bad. But man, that was breathtaking.
So, start in Nye. Give me your thoughts after watching those guys in Nye. Give me a thought.
Well, this was. This group was unique in terms of we kind of had like the leadership. So we had the company commander who decided to pull in his platoon sergeants and company gunny. And so they were platoon sergeants during the Battle of Fallujah in November 2004 with 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines. And so a little bit older, a little bit more mature. And I knew that would be a great place to probably start with your post-traumatic winning, just because those are guys that can have influence when they go back, and I'm sure they've never seen anything like that, and they never saw a program like what we do, where they all get together, and, you know, the place, like you said, it's like a movie set going up on the Two Rivers Lodge, it's pretty spectacular, and it was a home run, and it's a great place to just let that natural synergy come out when you put these guys back together in a relaxing environment where it's just them and they're kind of being catered to. Their food's getting done for them. Their guides are ready for them to go. It's a well-organized weekend, but it still allows for a lot of downtime for them to just sit and relax and catch up. I think it was a home run.
Younger group here. You know, I remember when I asked who's going to be in Fort Smith, and you said Bravo Company, 1st Recon Battalion, and then kind of some things clicked in my head, and you know, I was in Afghanistan at the same time, and actually they worked for us initially, and then went up north Your thoughts after watching this? I mean, you had a very interesting interaction. One of the Marines showed you a text message that he sent his father.
Yeah, it was funny because I do a quick little introduction for you before you start your presentation. Just give a little background on the BarX project, how we started, who's paying for everything for you to be here, and a little bit about who you are. And it's just funny because I say you get to see the Marines, and they just have their total poker face on, right. You know, no emotion, not even blinking, just staring straight ahead, not smiling, not frowning, and because they don't know what they're going to walk into. And nobody likes talking about mental health. Everybody assumes it's going to be, hey, tell me all your problems. Tell me why you can't sleep at night. We're going to make you cry. And it's so the guard is up. But then after a few slides and people starting to learn about who you are and what your background, and they realize that's absolutely nothing what the intent of the course is, they start to shift in their chair. They kind of sit back a little bit more, and you can tell that they start to get it and that they've never heard something like that before.
Tell everybody about the text without betraying anybody's trust.
But. Yeah, so one of the
just,
Marines...
Just cool stuff.
Yeah, right? One of the Marines who was just sitting there, I was looking at him the whole time. He didn't blink for the 2.5 hours. He just sat and stared, and I was like, you know, is he getting any of this, or is he just completely uninterested? And then I talked to him outside afterwards. I said, so what did you think? He's like, I just sent a text to my dad saying that was, I think I just listened to the greatest post-traumatic stress disorder presentation ever made.
And the cool part of that particular Marine story is that he's studying to be a nurse.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in a position to influence a lot of people. And, you know, you can look over the horizon and you can say, you know, that guy is going to have the tools for the rest of his life just to look at people and say, hey, man, can I talk to you? You know, and again, nurses, you know, maybe patients that are struggling or, you know, just people he will cross paths with. And so you hear stuff like that and, you know, it makes your heart smile. You know, it makes your heart happy. And so, I mean, I think it really interesting. Are you hitting the target, you know, that you're the one who had the vision? I mean, when you reached out to me, is this thing hitting the target that you wanted it to?
As far as post-traumatic winning?
What you do here, and I told James, I said, you guys are hitting it out of the park, in my opinion. You guys are the prototype because the warmth that you feel when you're around these guys. I mean, we just went to Little Bighorn Battlefield, and we're walking around the battlefield, and you can tell how much they like each other. And then we have lunch. We just sit down on some grass in a shady area, and we have lunch. So got the food here is unbelievable. But anyway, the first thing I start doing is they start trading food. And it's just so reminiscent of busting out MREs. Who wants this, right? Who wants ham slices? Who wants my crackers? Anybody want my cheese? And you see Marines, just they do this. So we do that, and then they just sit there and laugh. And then, you know, after that, we went to this reservoir, and we go out, and they're good guys, and they we go down, and then people start jumping in this thing, and I'm telling you, it's cold, and but two pieces of garbage go in the water, and on both occasions. First occasion, it was a can, you know, one of the Marines jumps in and gets the can. It's underneath the water, goes in and gets it. In the second cage, it was, I think, a potato chip bag or something.
Yep.
And it fell out of somebody's pocket and fell in the water. And so we sat there and we threw rocks until we drove it back to the close enough to shore that somebody walked in and grabbed it.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the kind of guy, I mean, it's not like they looked at it and they said, screw it, we don't care. And so, it's just in their company, just a wonderful, you know, day. But you can feel that as soon as you get here, you could feel it, you know, in Nye, you know, when we were there. You walk in and there's just this, there are smiles and, you know, people are really, really great to you. You hitting the target? You make this thing better?
Yeah. I think That's kind of what fuels our drive to keep this thing going, is because, you know, these are good quality guys to begin with. You know what I mean? They do the right thing when nobody's looking. That's just the type of people that they are. So you don't want to see these guys just go back into society and, you know, go through the motions, you know, work 9 to 5 in a job that they can't stand, you know, a wife that can't stand them, and just, you know, drinking and just miserable. They're better than that. They're a lot better than that. Our society doesn't see people like that much anymore. You know, I listen to your podcast, and you always talk about, you know, the lack of leadership in this country. Well, these guys are leaders. These guys, you know, these are the guys that can lead corporations. They can lead hospitals. They can, you know, they're leaders. You know, they know right from wrong, and they know hard work. They know about integrity. And so if we can help get them to that next level, you know, it's our job. That's what we're supposed to do.
No, it's interesting. That's what I completely agree in terms of you see them. But you can tell, I mean, today, as you said, they all start out with a poker face, and then you watch them, whether they lean into it. You know, you can see their faces react to different things. And they're still trying to process life. Like, how do I do this with, you know, with all of what I have with me, right? With friends that have committed suicide and whatnot. And I've seen a lot of programs. I mean, I don't, and I'm not saying that because you're sitting here, but the combination of bringing them together and the warmth, the intimacy, the way they know each other, their willingness to support each other. And this group's unique. I mean, they've been getting together for
9 years.
9 years, yeah. I mean, you don't see that too often. Mm-mm. And so it's pretty cool to watch. And but that combination, and now I think with giving them the tools that they can use when they leave, you know, and I always say when I do the presentation, when you leave here, you're going to know more than 99% of the population about what it is to live a great life with trauma. And so, I mean, I don't know anybody who's doing it better than you guys. And what's the next step?
Next step is to continue doing what we're doing. And hopefully, you know, we reach out to, you know, somebody that's, whether it be a foundation, whether it be an individual, wealthy individual who wants to help, who wants to kind of dump a ton of fuel on the spark that we kind of have going right now. That's the missing piece. I mean, we have locations that we can bring these guys to. We have Marines that need a weekend and a trip like this. We have Marines that need to hear what you are presenting now through post-traumatic winning. But it costs money. It costs us money, and that's our only thing that is prohibiting us from doing it more. You know, we have low overhead. I'm running this thing out of a home office. You know, all the administrative stuff is done in a home office.
By board members, right?
By board members. Our board members.
You do have an application for somebody to become your company gunny.
Yeah, I got a text today from one of the Marines that if you ever start doing this full time and you need a company gunny type permission, I'd like to throw my name in a hat. But we've got board members and the leaders of each weekend. They do it all voluntarily. They fly themselves out here on their own dime. We don't pay for it. There's photographers and a videographer that comes out on their own dime. They bring their own equipment in, and these are guys that have careers where that's their career, is making videos. They're professionals, and they come out here for free. And not only that, they pay their own way to come out here. So the only way we can make it better is if we, you know, you get somebody behind this thing that really wants to make it a year-round thing.
Well, in my opinion, there's no doubt that that's going to happen, because the impact you're having with this recipe that you have is pretty cool to watch. And I told James, and I'll say it here live on the radio, and that is, you know, be prepared for this to be a year-round full-time gig, because it's I have this saying, and people who listen to the program have heard it before, but good on top of good on top of good on top of good. And I told James while we were driving around today, I said, it's on the verge of being great on top of great on top of great on top of great on top of great. And it'll happen in time, but what you're doing is so powerful that to me there's no doubt in my mind. So get your shit together. It's going to happen.
Oh, God willing, I hope so, because all of America wins. When these guys come back and they leave here with a new set of new lenses to look at life with, we all win, because right. These guys are rare. And then now they know how to process everything, and they know how, okay, I don't need to be on all kinds of drugs. I know what to do. I've got a new mission now. And that's how Marines think. Marines need missions, and they don't want to be coddled. They don't want to be babied. They just need a new mission. And we're never in that after the Marine Corps. When you join the Marine Corps, you're given a mission from day one. Every day there's something to do. There's somebody telling you what to do, and you do it. So we respond to that. But if you get a guy like, say, David Jarvis is here, squared away Marine, very capable. Let's say he goes back and he becomes a high school teacher. Would you want your kids to take his history class as he's teaching?
God. No, I would want my kids to be impacted in every possible way by David Jarvis.
Yeah. Let's say he's coaching volleyball. Would you want your daughters to be on his volleyball team?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yesterday. All right. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you about what you guys have got going that you want to make sure people know?
I think with you, the post-traumatic winning, the hospitality that we got from these local people here in Montana, the donors that we already have, the Marines that we're reaching, this is more than just a reunion project where, hey, guys, thanks. Have a nice day. It's on us.
Have a nice weekend.
It's more than that now. It was that in the beginning, but every year it's grown and it's gotten better and better. Now I think it's truly a life-transforming type weekend where they'll remember this forever, and they're also going to remember a lot of what they learned today in just that brief amount of time.
That is James Moran. Travel safe. Thank you very much for opening the door for me to participate. I've got more work to do this week, but I've had it's been a week that I'll never forget, to include. Just so you know, I did a backflip into that reservoir. Okay? The only Marine that did that. To include that. But no, I can't say thank you enough. I've had an absolutely, I tell people that, I come and do these things and I get as much out of it. With the conversations I have with people, they're so good for me that it's, thank you for including me here.
Yep, and just so I can say, just from me to you, thank you for what you've done, because that's what needs to be told to Marines that are coming back from war, exactly that program that you preached. And thank you for your leadership and what you're doing, because, it's life-changing, and it's going to help people. And, that phrase that we have, that Semper Fidelis, that doesn't just end when you EAS and you take your uniform off. Like, that stays with you for life. Like, so if there's a Marine out there that's struggling, that's our job, especially as officers, to reach down and help and call him. Don't assume that he's fine. Just check in, and to be able to give him something like what you have and what you put together. Like I told you right after today, it was brilliant. That's a brilliant presentation, because every single Marine responded to it.
Yeah. Thank you. That is James Moran of the Bar X Project. Let's see. I think that means that we're done. Yeah. Again, a little bit shorter this week. Hope you don't mind. It makes my life a little bit easier when I'm out on the road. A little bit longer show tomorrow. I'll be with Montana Man and F-18 Man, so looking forward to that. So, I think it's time for this. I can't tell you what an incredible experience this has been here in Fort Smith, Montana. Being able to hang out with the Marines of Bravo Company, 1st Recon Battalion that are up here, they're good they're good human beings. They're bright, tough, combat-tested young men and great representatives of what this country produces. And they've been through a lot. And going to the Little Bighorn battlefield today with them, actually yesterday, and go into a reservoir and watching them just screw off was absolutely incredible. Having lunch with them, you know, box lunches that that Jenny from the Kingfisher Lodge here in Montana, who've been some of the most gracious hosts I've ever seen in my life. And, I mean, so it's been just, it's been an amazing couple of days. And I would tell you, Jenny and Brock Boddicker, that run the Kingfisher Lodge here in Fort Smith, Montana, if you're into fly fishing, you will not find a better place than this. I will tell you this. The most unbelievable food I've eaten in a long time. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, just off-the-hook food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I kid you not. It was unbelievable. Marines were laughing about it. Like, I have not eaten this good maybe ever in my life. So, but, you know, more than that, they're absolutely wonderful people. And so it just makes it. It just makes the experience, obviously, better. And so between the Marines that were here, James and his crew that were here, and then Brock and Penny, who run the place, I mean, I know I don't do a good job describing it. But it was the perfect place to do post-traumatic winning. And so thanks for listening on this Wednesday. All Marine Radio, over and out.